You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenzi. I'm going to put some money where its fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. And we've got a ton of fantasy talk on today's program for you. We're talking NBA DFS. We're talking NHL DFS. Michael Leone is going to step up and in and join us and break down some NBA basketball for us. Chris Meaney in studio with us. We'll talk a little Sweet 16. We'll talk some NHL DFS action for you. And we'll send it to Las Vegas stuff. Nevada, Ted Savransky, a.k.a. Teddy Covers, will step up and in as we're getting set to tip off, man. It's the Sweet 16. As you can see, I'm rocking the Michigan gear today. And, you know, I've got more expensive and better Michigan stuff. But as far as Michigan basketball is concerned, all I have is a Chris Webber jersey. And I have a Chris Webber jersey from the Chris Webber era, all right? And, you know, I'm not Arnold Schwarzenegger or anything, but the jersey doesn't even fit me anymore. So, you know, I picked this up, actually. I got bad memories, though, with this T-shirt. I got this T-shirt in the airport in Detroit the morning after they lost to Louisville in the national championship game. I think it was 4 years ago. I was in the airport, and it was on full sale clearance because they just lost. All right, you know who didn't lose last night? The USA. You know what sucked about that game last night? We had the under 7.5, and the final score was 8-0. We lost by half a run. How about Marcus Stroman, man? We told you that Marcus Stroman's season win total was 10.5, and that we loved the over. Hard not to like it even more after you saw Stroman no hit the Puerto Ricans. 95 pitches, that was the limit for him. He went the limit. Very impressive 6 innings, no hit baseball for the Toronto Blue Jays, Marcus Stroman. The WBC was a huge success. A huge success, Gary Bettman. You know, Gary Bettman in the World Cup of Hockey. Tickets were going for $6. You know, they were going for $4. I think they were going for $2, actually. Like, StubHub, the minimum is $6. Like, StubHub doesn't go below $6. But I heard tickets were, like, $4 and stuff like that on the street, $3. World Baseball Classic, they sold over 1 million tickets. They sold over 1 million tickets. 51,000 people there last night. 33,000 people the night before in the pouring rain for Japan versus the USA. It was raining, only 33,000, but you got to remember, you know, I lived in Los Angeles, and, you know, if it rains just a bit, man, people are scared, very scared. So getting 33,000 people, not bad. But nevertheless, there's a ton of stuff to get to on the program today. We've got a ton of winners for you. But we've spent a lot of time over the past couple of weeks talking about college basketball, and rightfully so, with the conference championship tournament and now the NCAA tournament. We're heading into the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight. But there's a couple of notes of interest from the world of football. Remember that sport, football, that I thought were interesting enough to discuss. Now, let's start off with something that I've been talking about forever, all right? Suing a football coach. Suing a football coach. Now, for those of you that took the over-under prop and took under as far as how long it would take for somebody to sue Lane Kiffin at Florida Atlantic University, if you took the under, you're a winner. As Lane Kiffin, they ain't even started spring practice yet, and he's already been sued. He hasn't coached a damn game. Let's see Lane Kiffin so far. So you got fired by Alabama. You know, you took the Florida Atlantic job. You still were at Alabama. And then you got the boot because you pissed Saban off. You missed the bus like 3 times this year. One of your first things that you did is you recruited a kid that's not a very good kid to come to Florida Atlantic. Then you brought in Kendall Briles, who was part of the rape scandal at Baylor. And now you're getting sued by an assistant coach that didn't get the job. So basically, Lane Kiffin played former Alabama wide receiver, and Kiffin's at Bama, so he's trying to use the connection. So A.C. Carter, former Alabama wide receiver, also like a coach, has connections, obviously, hooked up Florida Atlantic with a kid. He was going to get a job. He was going to be an assistant. Kiffin got the kid, got the commitment, and then didn't give Carter the damn job. Now, you know, whatever. Shocking. Shocking that Lane Kiffin would do something unscrupulous. But you know what? I want to get a piece of this, actually. And I've been saying this for years. I wanted to sue Bob Wickman for costing me as much money as he did. Remember the former big league closer, Bob Wickman? I wanted to sue him for emotional distress. But if we're suing Lane Kiffin for fraud, like, clearly we can sue the Buffalo Bills then for impersonating a football organization for the last 20 years. Like seriously, like, how about Rex Ryan? Like, that's fraud. You were fraudulent. You're not a coach. You pretended that you were a coach. You got paid as a coach. Like, seriously, think about, like, all the stupid lawsuits that exist. As a Buffalo Bill fan, you're telling me that we can't find a lawyer to prove that I have emotional distress due to the Buffalo Bills sucking? I do. I'm emotionally scarred. You know, if anyone, like, I've been saying this for years, man. And another thing is, too, we should sue the NBA as well. I know I'm making friends with all the corporate types. We should sue the NBA for sitting players. It's as simple as that. You're ripping people off. It's false advertising. But nevertheless. All right, so Lane Kiffin's a scumbag. Shocking developments. Here's a shocking development as well. Roger Goodell actually just did something right. All right, so remember the National Football League ratings sucked last year, and one of the problems was too many commercials. And I got to, you know, I understand, man. You know, the fact is, the sponsors pay the bills, man. So I don't have a problem with commercials during games. I get it. As somebody that's in the industry, I get. The lights need to stay on, all right? And even big bad ESPN and stuff like that, even they don't have enough money just to broadcast these games for free. They got to get a little bit of return here. You know, it was the way that they were doing it. And the National Football League games, there's no flow. You know, it's a problem with college basketball with their stupid TV timeouts every 4 minutes. They got to cut that down a little bit as well. But there was no flow with the NFL. So the NFL actually is announced they're going to do something right. They're going to do something cool. And what they're doing is they're not going to go to a commercial after a touchdown and extra point anymore. So the way it's been in past years, obviously, so there's a touchdown, you get the extra point, they go to commercial break. They come back out of commercial break, they kick the football off, they go to commercial break. And that's where you want to start smashing things. Roger Goodell says, I don't like that either. We're not doing that anymore. So they're going to stay. They're going to stay after the touchdown, right into the kickoff. And, you know, it's going to be a hell of a lot better. They're cutting down two commercial breaks per quarter, essentially. Now, the commercials aren't going away. They're going to jam them in other places, and they're going to give the networks more discretion to put the commercials in where they want during the broadcast to keep a better flow for entertainment purposes. I've been saying this for years, man. The National Basketball Association is gaining ground on the NFL. The NFL is still a juggernaut and a powerhouse, man. But you speak to the average teenager and the 18 to 34 demographic, they're more down with LeBron James than they are with Tom Brady. All right. But before we get too crazy and congratulate the National Football League, they did add a stupid idea to the mix. National Football League referees, instead of going under the hood, you know, they go under the camera. So what's the play here? What's the help? Like that, like, helps the stupid old men. But they're going under the camera. Instead of going under the hood now, they're going to give them tablets. They're going to give them tablets, like those Microsoft tablets. You've been brave. I hate that commercial. All right. They're going to give them the tablets. So just picture this. It's a snowstorm in Foxborough, and a 74-year-old man who's a freaking insurance salesman, who's a referee, is supposed to look. You know, these guys don't even know how to text. They're going to use a tablet? How the hell are they going to see? I don't even like tablets. I hate my iPad. It's too small. Can't see. You know what he's standing like? I want my money in a decision of NFL game on a little tablet. Is he out of bounds? I don't know. Yeah, like, what are you going to have some, like, punk-ass millennial, like, operating the tablet for a referee? Referee's not even going to want to turn the thing on. Like, here's a tablet, ref. All right, so less commercials, good idea. More tablets, bad idea. Game Time Decisions continues. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Let's do this thing as the countdown is on. Michigan, hail to the victor. Wolverine, Michigan and Oregon. The Oregon Ducks, first game off the board this evening. We're fired up for this basketball game. We got some great guests on the program today. We got a little bit of something for everybody. We're going to focus on the Sweet 16 off the top of the show. We got Michael Leone, who's going to join us and talk some NBA DFS. We've got Chris Meaney. We're going to talk some NHL DFS and some Sweet 16. So we got something for the fantasy players, and we got something for the gamblers as well. Speaking of gambling, let's send it to the home of the Las Vegas Golden Knights and soon to be the Raiders as well, Las Vegas, Nevada. What's up, Teddy?
Renzi, how are you today? We don't have the Raiders yet, my friend, although from a betting standpoint, they're chalk now, and they haven't been before.
That's a good point. And suddenly the Raiders really going to be overvalued, huh?
I mean, like, no, the fact that the question was, will they come to Vegas?
Oh, yeah, but I'm saying once they get to Vegas, the lines are going to be crazy.
I don't know that the Raiders moving here is really going to affect it. I mean, you think it will? You think all of a sudden it'll be just Raiders money all the time and it'll be like,
yeah, I think they'll be, I think they're going to get more trendy, sort of like the LA Kings when they went to the black jerseys years ago. There's a feel about it. I think the locals will jump on the bandwagon as well. What are they going to do? I don't know if you know about that, but people have asked me about that. Like, you know, with the UFC, they can't, you know, the station's casinos doesn't offer mixed martial UFC events, etc. But if the Raiders are in Vegas, like, Goodell's never said anything about this, but what are they going to do, like, with the games in Vegas? Are they just going to take bets on them normally?
One would anticipate that they would. You know, I don't think they'll treat it any differently than a UNLV game, for example, you know, for football or basketball, where there's action on, you know, just like any other college football or NFL or college hoops game.
I think
it'd be business as usual.
I think the Raiders end up in Vegas. But anyways, all right, Teddy, so Michigan. You went to Michigan but hold a grudge because they screwed you. There wouldn't be a hope in hell that I would ever be allowed. I've been on the campus and I nearly got arrested, all right, let alone go there.
Sure. So. It's not hard.
Yeah, no, it's an uptight little town, actually. But nevertheless, as a Michigan fan, Teddy, I got to be honest with you. I've been betting on them every game since we spoke going to that Big Ten tournament. And every game, I'm like, I don't know, it's a pretty bad matchup for them. So they win the game, and people are like, oh, great call, Morant, you gave us Michigan. And I'm really thinking, yeah, I wasn't overly confident. Like, last week, Oklahoma State, I'm like, I don't know, it could be tough. They're pretty athletic. I was like, oh, horrible matchup against Louisville. And here we are again against the Ducks. But the fact is, they're 12-2 straight up in their last 14 now.
And that's funny that your impression of the Louisville matchup was horrible, because my first reaction is, what a great matchup for Michigan.
Really?
Yeah, sure, because Michigan's not going to turn the ball over. And when you look at Bayline versus Patino with 48 hours to prepare, you know what? Bayline's minus -5, you know?
I couldn't forget that Monday night from 4 years ago.
Sure, but that was, I think, a better Louisville team than this one. Obviously, that one won the national championship. This one didn't. But when we look at Michigan versus Oregon tonight, it's tough. It's tough for the Wolverines. This is the ultimate coin flip game. I mean, I do not have a strong opinion here. The Wolverines have been riding this wave. We know what Bayline's done in the NCAA tournament. He's got the best point spread record of any head coach in this tournament, and you know, continued again last weekend. And the only reason it isn't better, of course, is because Okie State hit the three-pointer at the buzzer to cover the number in the first round. But this isn't a spot where he's going to outcoach Altman. No way. And when we look at this Oregon team and the Pac-12 in particular, they have been the undervalued commodity here in the tournament. I am an Oregon believer, and it's not a team I have any interest in stepping in front of. So in my opinion, this is the type of game where the team with the ball last probably is going to win the game. If I'm going to play it, I might look at the over. But that's about all I can look at.
Yeah, I got a feeling that this game comes down to the wire as well. I can see it tied in the mid-70s, 73-73 with a minute left. And then the total actually is $146.5 right now. The good thing about Michigan is their difficulty to play, as you mentioned, they don't turn the ball over. They're versatile. They don't really push the tempo, but they score a lot. So teams get, you know, sort of lulled into this, and then they look up, and it's like, these guys got 38 points already. But it's nice to see DJ Wilson Wilson's exploding right now. Mo Wagner, of course, had that epic weekend last weekend. But on the flip side, man, Tyler Dorsey, this kid's been lighting it up. He scored 20 or more in five straight games, Teddy.
Sure, and Dylan Brooks is no joke either. You know, we're talking about a couple of guys with NBA futures. Both teams have NBA talent, and that's a lot of what I look for at this time of the year. The teams with the guys who are going to be playing at the next level tend to be good bets going from the Sweet 16 to the Final Four. Those are the teams that you want to ride, and both Michigan and Oregon have that capability.
You and I think the same way on this, Teddy, because earlier in the week, and I always, you know, the gut instinct's always the best, right? The initial reaction, you know, like I feel as though the first time when I start changing my mind, if I'm not, you know, sure about something, I usually lose. But when I looked at Michigan, Oregon, I thought, yeah, we can get the over in this game. The side's going to be tough. I'm giving the Michigan homer pick in this one, but I do like the over. I think it does get there. West Virginia and Gonzaga. To me, the question is, Teddy, I look at Gonzaga. I see that they turn the ball over about 10, 11 times a game. West Virginia, otherwise known as Press Virginia for their aggression, you know, they create havoc and they make you turn the ball over 10 times a basketball game. So really this comes down to how is Gonzaga going to be able to deal with the pressure that and sort of the street ball style that Huggins brings to the table here?
And that's the million-dollar question for this ballgame, Gabe, because the reality with this Gonzaga team, if you watched them play last week and you hadn't seen them prior to that, you're like, this team's really a number one seed? You know, we did not see the best Zags at all in either game getting here to the Sweet 16. The fact they were able to survive in advance against Northwestern is a testament to the fact that, A, they played a really good first half in that ballgame, and B, the fact that there is a requisite level of talent for Gonzaga that maybe hasn't been there in years past where they've come short. But the Zags didn't respond well to the Northwestern pressure a week ago. And I'm not convinced they're going to respond well to the West Virginia pressure tonight. But on the other end of the equation, if West Virginia isn't forcing fast break buckets and creating turnovers in bunches, their half court offense stinks. And Gonzaga statistically is as good defensively as any team remaining in the tournament. So it could be really tough for the Mountaineers to execute their limited half court offense against the Gonzaga defense. That's pretty darn good. So maybe look at the under in this game. This the total's been getting bet up and up and up. I don't see it, Gabe. I don't see it at all. I think it's going to be a lower scoring game.
Yeah, you look at Gonzaga, and Gonzaga are generally an under team. I mean, they don't play very good competition. So, you know, the Toreros are going to score 38 points or whatnot. But without being stated, like you said, they're a good defensive team. Generally, their games, Gonzaga are comfortable playing in the 60s, you know, the high 60s or so, low 70s. And you get West Virginia, who, you know, it's a shock, actually. They put up 86 against Bucknell, and we cashed that ticket with Bucknell last week. They cashed 86 with Bucknell and 83 against Notre Dame. So their offense is scoring a lot, but I think that's why people are buying in or looking at these numbers. But I get the feeling, too, that this is going to be a scrappy game where points could be tough to come by.
Well, what happened last weekend, West Virginia's guards hit a bunch of shots, you know, and you read the Notre Dame quotes after the game from Mike Bray. Like, we were surprised. We didn't think they'd shoot as well as they did. We designed our defense to give them those looks, and they hit them. So if they hit them tonight, that's bad news for underbetters and probably bad news for Gonzaga. But it's been a West Virginia team that has struggled to knock down those looks throughout the course of the campaign. The fact they hit them last weekend, is that a harbinger of things to come? That tells us, you know, if it is, then West Virginia has obviously Final Four capability.
Yeah, West Virginia's a dangerous team, and I've underestimated them, I'll admit it. And I know you read the quotes, Teddy, Javon Carter saying, we're tired of the doubters, but we enjoy proving them wrong. And he says, every time I turn on the TV, we can't do this, we can't do that, we're going to lose. And it does seem to motivate them. You know, but they're an imperfect team. Like, they have a ceiling, but if things are going well for them, it's a tough game that should come down to the wire as well, Teddy.
Sure. I mean, that's, you know, good TV tonight, man. Yeah. You know, I'm looking forward to this.
All right, so Purdue and Kansas. I picked the Jayhawks to win the tournament before it all started. Purdue, Kansas would play the Michigan-Oregon winner. Both games are in Kansas City tonight. Speaking of offense, the Jayhawks are averaging 93 points a game in this tournament so far, Teddy, through two games.
Yeah, another team with a whole lot of NBA talent on their roster, which makes, you know, I the fact you picked Kansas looks pretty good right now. I wouldn't argue with that pick at all. And we're talking about a team that's been so good at winning the close games all year.
Yeah.
13-2.
Yeah.
Straight up in games decided by 10 or less. And what does that mean? That means, A, they haven't been great against the spread because they're laying big points all year. You know, they're no longer in those type of spread ranges now. From now on, we're going to see Kansas single digits, you know. So it's a matter of, gee, they couldn't cover 11 and they couldn't cover 15 and they were lousy covering 18 and they played a lot of opponents close to the vest and then put them away late. Now that's a strategy that, A, wins games and B, covers point spreads. But my one concern about the Jayhawks tonight, and I think it's a very legitimate concern, they don't have a lot of size and depth inside. And when you look at Purdue, they're inside-out game, you know, with Haas and Swanigan. And Swanigan is another guy who's going to be playing at the NBA level. And they can pound the ball down low and kick it out to their shooters. They're the third-best three-point shooting team in college basketball this year, top five. I think it's number three. But a top five shooting team from three-point land because of the ability of the big men to draw double teams. And that could work against Kansas. It worked against a whole lot of teams in the Big Ten all year long.
Teddy, I'm looking at the total here, and word on the street is I didn't do a double check, but somebody sent me a tweet saying that is it down to $1.54.5 now in that range?
That's exactly what I'm looking at. Good tweet.
Yeah, all right. And it was 157. I was leaning towards the over at 57, so why not now?
And there is some, it's a total that's on the move right now. I'm just looking at my screen.
So it's going back up? So,
well, just shop around. I'll just put it that way.
All right. Okay, so we got a couple of minutes here. Xavier and Zona. I picked Zona to make it to the Final Four. You're Markkanen and Schur, you want to talk about NBA guys. Markkanen, man, this guy's a stud, all right? The people don't realize how good Lauri Markkanen is. They're going to find out for the next 12 years in the NBA. But Alonzo Trier is a hell of a player as well. Miller's knocked on the door a lot of times. Can he get there? But with that being stated, Xavier is getting 7.5 points, Teddy. It's one of these deals where I got Zona making it and moving on, but I'm not ready to lay 7.5 to a scrappy Musketeer team.
Hard to lay points, you know, and hard to lay, you know, more than a point or two in any of these ball games. We look at Xavier, and again, they've been to the Sweet 16, what, three times in the last 6 years. Now this is the fourth trip, and always as a six seed or higher. And you look at their results, 0-3 straight up. Ah, Chris Mack can't win the big game. And then you look against the spread, how we grade the games here in Vegas, and in regulation, 3-0 against the spread. They did lose one in overtime. I think it was to North Carolina or whoever it was. But they've been in all of these games right down to the wire. And Xavier's one of those teams. They don't jack up bad threes in the final minute when they're trailing. You know, they take the ball to the hole. Those tend to be good point spread teams, better point spread teams as underdogs. But I'm with you on Arizona's potential. And I wouldn't sell them short with the Final Four being played in Glendale. They're going to have a lot of crowd support tonight. They're going to have a lot of crowd support should they make it to next weekend. And they're good enough talent-wise to cut down the nets and win the whole thing.
But one thing, it's almost like football, Teddy. When you're taking out underdog, you want that passing offense that can get that backdoor touchdown, is able to move the ball. Like you said, Mac's a good coach. They'll run in for the layup. They'll play the foul game. They'll play it to the final whistle. And you need a guy. You need a guy that can keep you in the game and it can go off. And Trayvon Blewett's that guy. He's averaging 25 points a game. He's carrying this team.
He's insane. And he's on fire right now. And when you have one of those kind of runs, it's hard to step in front of those players when one guy can cover a point spread all by himself.
All right, you can find Teddy's picks over at sportsmemo.com. He does daily video sports bit for SBR. You can find that over at SBR and Sportsbook Review and, of course, on YouTube. And also, he's one of the covers experts, and he's got a free pick up for Friday night's Blue Blood Tilt. UCLA and Kentucky, the two winningest programs in college basketball history. And we're going to have three players in Ball, Fox, and Monk. They're probably going to be in the top seven picks in the upcoming NBA draft. This game is as good as it gets, and it's amazing, actually. It's a double revenge spot right now for Coach Calipari. UCLA beat him earlier this year, and it beat him last year. Man, this is a tough game to pick. My gut tells me Kentucky. What do you make of this game, and you have an opinion on the total of this game?
Yeah, it's another one of these games where it could easily be the team with the ball last wins. You know, it's priced around Pick'em because it needs to be priced around Pick'em. These are two very good college basketball teams, either one of them, obviously capable of making a run long after they win on Friday night. But I like the total in this game. I mean, the first meeting was a shootout. You know, the pace was fast. The shooting percentages were high. And both squads since that have really changed their stripes. UCLA season-long defensive numbers, they're no good. You look at their recent defensive numbers, rock solid. Same thing with Kentucky. And the fact that Kentucky lost last time playing at UCLA's pace, and the fact that UCLA's pace is kind of unique, the more you see it, the easier it is to defend against. I'm expecting a much slower pace this time around. I'm expecting better defensive efficiency. So UCLA, Kentucky, they have the highest total in the tournament so far. I'll take it under. $165.5, $166 will look to be a, you know, 81-80 cash is our ticket.
Yeah, and you know, last time they played last year, 87-77. This year earlier was 97-92. But as you wrote, Teddy, and you can check out Teddy over at Covers Experts, Kentucky 8-1 to the under in their last nine, and in fact they've held eight of their last nine opponents to 70 points or less. And you're right. I don't think Kentucky wants to get into a track meet with UCLA once again. They've lost two times in a row doing that, right?
They learned that lesson, yeah, one would think.
All right, Teddy. So, hey, congratulations. I know you've had a great tournament, so keep it going through the weekend, and we'll speak next week.
Thanks, man. Knock on wood. I appreciate that.
There's Ted Savransky. Teddy, always a pleasure, Teddy. All right, there's Teddy Covers with us, talking some college basketball. Michael Leone will join us next. We'll talk some NBA, DFS, DraftKings. All right, we're talking basketball, NBA basketball. We just talked about tonight's Sweet 16 matchups. And, man, I miss college DFS. I was actually pretty good at that. I miss that. It'd be a lot of fun if we were breaking it down from a DFS perspective. And I tell you, take Tyler Dorsey, because the kid's scored more than 20 points in five straight games. Mo Wagner's been lighting it up. But nevertheless, let's talk about the five games that are on the NBA board tonight. And I got to tell you, you know, this lineup that I put together today actually came together rather easily. But it's a tough board tonight, man. We got teams that are playing back-to-backs, or we got defensive teams going head-to-head with each other. There's not a lot there, actually, on the board. So that's why we bring in one of the best in the business to help us navigate our way through tonight's NBA DFS card. Michael Leone joins us. Mike, it's always a pleasure, man. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, Gabe.
As a fellow Bills fan, I think you'd like my opening of the show today. Lane Kiffin's getting sued for fraud. And I said, you know what? It's about time. We should sue the Bills organization for fraud and impersonating a pro football team. And, you know, you get in on a class action suit against Rex Ryan for personal distress. Like, we've got a case as Bills fans. They've caused personal distress, Mike.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's the easy part, proving the ill impact on my life. I mean, that's the easy part. We can definitely do that.
Yeah, the negative impact. Time to call Salino and Barnes. All right. So let's talk about tonight's card. It's not a pretty card, but there's one little nugget mixed in here, and that's the fact that the Nets are playing. Now, the Nets, they're a little bit better defensively than they have been, than they were earlier in the year, but they're still pushing the pace. They're still pushing the tempo. They're still bombing away. And then you get the Phoenix Suns rolling into town tonight. And the Phoenix Suns have a bunch of good fantasy players on their team. All these young guys getting a ton of minutes, Mike, as you know, but they hit the wall the other night, and they were all tired. Like, They all struggled. They've had a couple of days off now. So I think Ulis, I think Warren, Marquise Chris, I think all these guys are in play tonight. And I know you like Tyler Ulis tonight.
Yeah, Ulis is just playing such heavy minutes. Over the last five, he's averaging 37 minutes a game. You know, they shut Eric Bledsoe down. Ronnie Price has been out. He's questionable for tonight. Even if he does play, we're expecting high 30s minutes for Ulis. It's such a great game environment mixed into this, as you mentioned. Like, not a very fun day to play DFS, but you get this nugget here where you get two teams. They're top three in pace. They're both bottom five in team defensive efficiency. So you get a 226 total. The spread is one of the tightest spreads on the night. It's a great game environment. So I really like it. And one of the nice things with Ulis is a lot of times when we see guys step in and play, heavy minutes or larger minutes than they have, they take a step back in terms of responsibilities. You know, they see less usage. Their assist rate dips. With Ulis, because they shut down Eric Bledsoe, the opposite's actually happened. His assist rate is much higher over his last five games than it's been on the season. So he's seen more responsibility and more minutes in the dream matchup. So even with the price tag rising, I'm in on him.
Two other Phoenix Suns that I'm actually playing. I stacked both of them together just because I like the salary and I like the production for both of them. Let's start off with Ty Warren. 34 or more in three straight before hitting the wall the other night against the Heat. But Warren has consistently produced five, six times a return in his salary. And a young player, actually, that's going to be a good NBA player and a guy that they really came on late last year. I watch a lot of college basketball. Marquese Chris was extremely raw. He started to get playing time late with the Washington Huskies last year. I was high on this kid coming into the draft, and he started to put it together over the last four games. He's averaging 17.5 points and seven boards a game, Mike.
My only issue with Chris is that price tag is rising to a point where I think it's tough. I think there's some volatility there with minutes, especially with it looks like Alan Williams is going to be back. He missed last game. So I'm a little bit worried there from a price standpoint. If you were in like a cash game, I see it in tournaments. Both Chris and Warren have seen, you know, some of the benefits Ulis has with Bledsoe shut down. You know, they're not using Tyson Chandler to get these young guys in. So other guys are getting more usage, participating in rebounding more. We've seen Warren's rebounding rate higher. Do you want to note, just before I came on, I saw that they added Warren to the injury report. He's questionable, so keep an eye out on that situation.
Well, of course, why not? Of course.
Yeah, right.
Why wouldn't he be? All right, so let's talk about a guy on the Nets, actually, that I'm a big fan of, and I play him pretty routinely, actually, and I'm talking about Brook Lopez. He's just so consistent, Mike.
He is, and I don't know what it is on DraftKings. That price tag just never seems to change.
Yeah, $6,500.
Absolutely. He never seems to get above 7K, and it's a pretty good bargain when you get him there. And the Nets side of the game is a little bit difficult to decipher because they play so many guys. They play 10, 11 guys. You know, nobody plays 30 minutes. The one exception is Brook Lopez. He's the one guy who's playing 30 minutes. You don't have Tyson Chandler playing for the Suns, so that matchup has eased as the season's gone along. They're bottom five in team defensive efficiency against the center position specifically. So I think that if you're stacking this game, which makes sense given what's out there tonight, the guy from the Nets is definitely going to be Brook Lopez, whereas Phoenix, it's a little bit easier to pick and choose two or three different guys.
Yeah, you know, the other night I played Dinwiddie, and people were like, you're playing Dinwiddie? Come on, man. I said, hey, he's starting. You're going to see. He gave us, eight, nine times the return. He's $3,800. I'd like to get him in tonight, but it looks like Jeremy Lin could be back in the rotation. And like you said, I mean, there's a lot of guys on the guys like Caris LeVert, sort of a gamble. But I agree with you as far as the Suns, and it bothered me too with the pricing points, both in Chris. Like, it's to the point where, like, they need, like, Warren needs to give you 30 points. Yeah, he has to get 35 points, and I don't like that very much. I was riding the Jonas Valanciunas wave. We got the Raptors taking on the Heat tonight. I was riding the JV wave, and I played him the other night against the Bulls. It was a disappointment, actually. Only 13 DK points. Looks like Ibaka suspended tonight. So what do you make of JV tonight? You like this matchup for him?
The big thing is just minutes here. I mean, he's priced at a point. He's been playing low 20s minutes consistently. We've got him projected at Daily Roto for 28 minutes tonight. Part of that is Serge Ibaka's suspension. Part of it's they're going up against Hassan Whiteside. And if you look at Valanciunas' game log, when they play against, you know, bigger centers like that and they need him out on the court more, his minutes rise. So you got a guy that's priced for playing around 22 minutes. If he plays 28 minutes, he's going to deliver value. There's not, like, anything in the matchup where I think he's going to go off. It's just a real nice price play to give you a little bit of cap relief at the position.
Another player in this game, what's your take on Corey Joseph tonight? You know, there's not a ton of upside with Corey, but you want to talk about minutes. He's playing minutes, man. He played 43 minutes the other night against the Bulls. The game obviously went to overtime, but he routinely plays 36, 37, 38 minutes. He was 6 of 11 from the field. He's put up 24 more DK points in the last four games. So for $5,100 on a thin card, you're going to get your return. You know, he's going to get minutes.
I think he's a stable guy. If I was in tournaments, I'd probably look elsewhere for a bit more upside. you know, since he's been logging these heavier minutes, he's like the opposite of Ulis a little bit, where I mentioned Ulis has actually seen an uptick in rates, whereas Joseph, you're not seeing the same per minute production as when he's just playing 20 minutes off the bench. He's playing 30 plus minutes. He's not seeing as much offensive responsibility with so much of that going to DeMar DeRozan with Kyle Lowry out. So I think he's a stable asset given the minutes that you mentioned in the playing time, but I'm probably looking elsewhere in tournaments trying to get a higher ceiling.
Yeah, and the Miami Heat are a weird matchup. They're not an easy team to play against. They defend point guards pretty well. As you stated, Whiteside's a monster on the inside. I was looking at Goran Dragic, actually, tonight, but I decided to go with Chris Paul instead.
Yeah, Dragic, I like the upside for Dragic. You know what? A nice tournament stack, too, sometimes that people don't like to do because they're worried about investing too much in one team. But you go Dragic and Whiteside together, you get that correlation there where it's easy to pair a backcourt guy and a frontcourt guy because you can get the assists on the Whiteside buckets, on those lobs. And then as far as the secondary statistics, you're getting rebounds and blocks out of Whiteside. So I think on this slate where we've mentioned outside of that Phoenix-Brooklyn game, it's a little bit difficult to decipher what to do. It makes sense to do a stack of a game stack or a teammate stack and grab a ton of upside as you can. And don't worry so much about the individual matchup. Just look at the individual upside the players have.
I'm a fan of the smaller cards, actually. When it comes to football, I've had some of my biggest scores, you know, during the 4 o'clock slate, you know, 3-4 games going on, and I'm just stacking up certain teams. A similar situation with the NBA, I think people get, you know, they get, oh, I don't want to have three guys on the same team even, or even two guys, but, you know, that oftentimes that's where the money is. If you fall ass backwards into a game that goes into overtime and they put up 248 points, you're killing it.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is if you get a situation like the Bulls last night where they're thin, players aren't priced, you know, appropriately. Like we saw last night for the Bulls, Jimmy Butler hit value, Paul Zipser hit value, Joffrey LaVerne hit value, Bobby Portis did good, yeah. Mirotic went off. So, you know, one situation to keep an eye on tonight, the Knicks at Portland, that's the only other game with an appealing game total. Derrick Rose is questionable, Lance Thomas is questionable. They've scaled back Carmelo's minutes. They've got him playing, you know, more like upper 20s rather than mid 30s. So if Rose were to sit in this game, it's a good game to speculate on the Knicks side where, you know, even if they get blown out, you get some guys like Ron Baker or Chazon Randle who are really cheap fillers that might just step in to more playing time in one of the games that actually has a good game total.
You know what? I actually looked at Ron Baker. He's $3,000, actually. All right, Mike, it's always a pleasure, man. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, go Bills.
Go Bills. Yeah, no. Yeah. We'll see how they screw up the draft. All right, Chris Meaney is going to join us next. Talk some basketball and some NHL DFS, actually. Got some player circles. All right, we'll get back to some college basketball in a minute. I got a full slate of picks for you. We'll get Meany's opinion on this. If you're wondering what Camera 2 Drew thinks about the Michigan-Oregon game, says Oregon wins by 21.
Well, originally he was like, no, it's going to be a tie. Like on Pro Line, within 5 points, it'll be a tie. 5 seconds later, Oregon probably wins by 22. It's not a tie, Drew. It's a 22-point difference there.
So we'll get to that in a couple of minutes. We don't have a lot of time, so let's get to some NHL DFS. We just talked NBA DFS. NBA is a thin card tonight.
Yeah.
Thin pickings, slim pickings. But NHL, we got a full slate, and there's actually a lot of value on the board. And you're more into the NHL on a daily basis than I am. But I'm looking at the NHL slate tonight, and the guy that's jumping off the page at me is Connor Sherry, Pittsburgh Penguins, $6,600, Chris. He's not the Connor McDavid's not the only hot Connor in the National Hockey League. This guy's got 13 goals and 11 assists in his last 13 games.
He's been a point-per-game player, like, all year. He's been phenomenal. He's been somebody that we've talked a lot about on this network, not just on this show, numerous shows. He's a hot topic. I mean, he plays with Sidney Crosby. You saw the other night, Crosby gets a natural hat trick. Connor Sherry's in all the problem. He's played majority of his time, even dating back to last year, Gabe. Last year in the postseason, this guy was great playing on a line with Sidney Crosby. So, yeah, his price point has not caught up to him. Really, by his production, he should be like $8,000.
A player speaking that is $8,000 is Nikita Kucherov, actually. One of the few consistent Tampa Bay Lightning players. 3 goals and an assist in his last 2 games. Taking on the Boston Bruins tonight. We've seen the Bruins defensively have been a sieve as of late. I highly doubt this is going to be a 2-1 hockey game.
Yeah, there's going to be some goals. I did a hot roster hit today where Kucherov was up against Pacioretty, and the thing I noticed between two of these guys is, as opposed to Pacioretty not getting the ice time, Kucherov has hit 20-plus minutes in 6 straight games. Tampa Bay needs a win. John Cooper is not afraid of double-shifting Kucherov, playing him even penalty-killing time where he's not used to that. So
yeah, Johnson's
he's their best. Johnson is ruled out tonight. You want to get a little bit sneaky if you want to go in with a little bit of a Tampa Bay stack. I mean, you can get Braden Point, who's pretty cheap, who's been centering that line with Kucherov and Palat. Kucherov has been unbelievable all season long, Gabe.
All right, speaking of cheap, Christian Fisher.
Woo, digging deep there.
Yeah, Christian Fisher, $2,600. the kid's only played 4 games in the National Hockey League. He's got 3 goals.
Yeah.
And in fact, he scored his first goal on his first shot. He scored his second goal on his second shot. And he scored his third goal on his third shot.
It's like Ricard Raquel. Like,
yeah, look, six shots on goal, 3 goals.
Hey.
He's a specialist.
Clearly,
he's a goal-scoring specialist.
But you know what? His ice time has jumped up. I mean, he played
14 minutes.
Yeah, he played 14 minutes. I mean, he only hit like 10 minutes in his first couple games. So he played 14. Florida, Aaron Ekblad tonight. That's their best defenseman. He's ruled out of this hockey game tonight. So you could go that way. There's a couple other cheap guys I do like, Gabe, that are in around that price. Not as cheap. I'm looking at the Blackhawks. Ryan Hartman centering Patrick Kane and Panarin. It was Schmaltz who was on that line originally, but he's 5-for-40 in the faceoff circle since Anisimov has been out with a knee injury. So him, I mean, you could go a couple guys. John Hayden is on that top line. He's under $4,000, and then Panic is still pretty cheap too. So they juggle a little bit. Quinville juggles that top six, but for the most part, these young guys are like Sheary and Rust and Gensel getting an opportunity to play with studs, and they're cheap, and they're just productive, and it's just a great way of plugging them in if you want to pay up for like a Connor McDavid, who has just a dream matchup against Drew's Avalanche.
There's been, speaking of the Avalanche, there's been a couple of times the Avs played the Canes, and I cashed the ticket. And I'm like, the Canes are terrible. They shouldn't be this big of favorites, but you know, just when the Canes were about to give up and it looked like they were done, they've started to put it together. They're actually playing well, and I want to talk about Elias Lindholm.
Yeah.
$4,600, but he's got points in 8 straight games.
He does.
3 goals and 6 assists, 9 points in the last 8 games.
Yeah, I mean, that top six is kind of underrated in Carolina, and people should have the Hurricanes on their radar, especially in fantasy hockey. They play 5 games next week, Gabe, more than anybody in the NHL, them in Nashville. For Lindholm, it's not a bad play. It's cheap. Carey Price is going to play tonight. He was questionable to play in that game tonight. He's been pretty good since Julian's been behind the bench. I think that he kind of just like, listen, I'm not playing for Tyrion. I want this guy out. But Lindholm is a cheap option, and Sebastian Aho is a decent play as well, getting time playing with studs and getting a lot of ice time. So the thing with Lindholm and Aho is they're not afraid to shoot the puck. So, I mean, that all adds up.
Yeah, which leads me into Claude Giroux, who actually, the shots on goal, actually, a little bit low.
He doesn't shoot the puck.
Yeah, like, you know, it's two, three shots, like three max, two shots on goal.
He always passes it off.
But he does score often, or he gets points often with minimal offensive output, to speak.
And look at his price. I mean, $5,900 on DraftKings. I mean,
that's why it was attractive. It's like, come on, man. I mean, you know,
you have
a desperate hockey team, and he's one of the best players on a team. And the fact is, he's got points in 8 straight games, 2 goals, and 6 assists. But everything else, he's got nothing else.
Yeah, at this price point, he's certainly worth it. I mean, 2 months ago, he was up near the $8,000 mark. I mean, if somebody drops down to below $6,000, you kind of got to roll the dice. You mentioned the points per game. There's a couple guys in Edmonton, too, that I like that are around that price. Drysdale and Maroon, get in there.
All right, college basketball tonight, what are you taking?
I like the teams to roll, like Kansas, Gonzaga. I think Michigan and Oregon is a tight game. I like that, you know, if you're into the pro lines within 5 points, I like that as a tie. But Arizona, I like those teams to roll tonight. Tomorrow's games, I like all to be really close. UCLA, Kentucky, right down to the wire. That's going to be an awesome game.
All right, we'll come back with our plays of the day and our NBA lineup of the day. Coming up next. her. Let's get to our NBA DraftKings lineup of the day. And, it's a rough one tonight, guys. It's thin across the board. We've only got five games on tap, and they're not very attractive games. But the Phoenix-Brooklyn game will help us out a little. We'll get to that in a second. But let's start off with Chris Paul, a fantasy machine, this guy. He's only played 53 minutes in the last two games. And, in fact, the Clippers' last three games have been an extreme blowout. So he hasn't topped, like, 30 minutes, and it hasn't mattered. He'd put up 89 DK points in 53 minutes. I don't think this game's going to be a blowout tonight against the Dallas and Mavericks. It's not going to be a track meet, but it is going to be close. I think it'll come down to the wire. The Clippers need to win games, and Chris Paul's going to get 40 minutes tonight. I like Chris Paul, $8,500. We're going to go with Josh Richardson here. Not a ton of upside here, but the position is very thin tonight. I would take Dinwiddie. We gave you Dinwiddie the other night for $3,800, and he gave us like 30 points. But I think Jeremy Lin's going to be back. If Seth Curry's out, I think Wes Matthews is a play, but the freaking NBA, you never know who's playing or not, and it's 2 in the afternoon. All right? So I'm going with Richardson at $5,000. He's going to give us five times our money back and just that. Ty Warren, this guy's been lighting it up, man. He's put up 30-plus DK points in seven of the last 10 basketball games. In a great spot tonight against the Brooklyn Nets. Speaking of the Brooklyn Nets, love Lopez. Lopez is a fantasy monster. We gave him Noah Vonleh the other day. Vonleh continues to produce. Listen, Vonleh's under $4,000. The guy's going to give us 22 to 25. We got Lopez. Guy's put up 33 or more DK points in seven straight freaking games, man. Lopez is a monster. Corey Joseph, well, nah, he's not a monster, but he's been playing pretty well over the last four games. Very, very consistent. He's met the times five ratio in four straight basketball games. 6 of 11 from the field the other night against the Bulls. DeRozan is the star, but Joseph has put up 24 more DK points in the last four games. Marquise Chris is a monster, man. The guy's put up 30 or more DK points in three of the last four games. Solid young player. Love this kid out of Washington. He's averaging 17.5 points and 7 rebounds per game over the last four games. And we're going to go with Nurkic, man. This guy does it all. Scores, passes, rebounds, blocks. Put up 37 or more in the last four. Great spot versus the Knicks tonight. Let's get to our plays and our best bets of the day. We're going to start off with the Michigan Wolverines. Hail to the victor, Wolverine. Now, listen, I've given you Michigan pretty much every day for the last 3 weeks, and I never really think they're going to win. And tonight, I'm really not sure. It's a tough game, man, against the Ducks. But go blue, go blue, go blue. The team, the team, the team. And the over, the over, the over. I think this game goes over the number. Gonzaga and West Virginia, or I should say Press Virginia. I think Gonzaga is going to survive a close one. I'll lay the 3 points here. I picked Kansas to win the championship. I'm not jumping off the Jayhawk train right now. They've looked great. I think they covered 5 points tonight. I think this game goes over 154.5. I've got Arizona going to the Final Four, but it doesn't mean I think they're going to win by 8 points tonight. Give me the 7.5 with Xavier. Let's go over 144.5. Xavier and Arizona. Little NBA basketball. I don't know why the Brooklyn Nets are -4.5 against anybody. They shouldn't be favored 4.5 against the Washington Generals. All right, give me the Phoenix Suns +4.5. Give me over 226 points. And finally, in closing, to prove that I'm not a homer, give me the Miami Heat -4.5 against the visiting Toronto Raptors. Other than that, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.